This is Singularity, a sacred scripture study. You are listening to episode 34. Today we cover part 5 of chapter 4 in A Course in Miracles. I am Angie, your host of Singularity, a podcast where we're not afraid to ask the questions that lead us to our truth. Each season we'll be discussing our way through a different sacred or inspired text. Join us for season 2 as we find our truths in A Course in Miracles, the advent or beginning of a great awakening. And just as the course itself will tell you, this is but one version of the universal curriculum. There are many others. This one only differing in form. They all lead to God in the end. So go ahead and grab your coffee. Have your pen and paper handy and the text if you have it. Don't forget, a free version is available online at acourseinmiraclesnow.com. Now the journey in discovering our truths starts right now. Here we go. Welcome back, Miracle Makers, to another episode. We're nearing the end of chapter 4. There are 7 parts to it, and today we're going to cover the study of part 6. We've already learned so much about the ego and its illusions, and we're going to go in a bit further, as well as make a few connections in what we've learned so far. So let's get started. Paragraph 1. Ego sees threat only because it can't see what's actually going on. And the only reason we've ever felt like we're facing threat is because we rely heavily on ego to see for us. On its own, the ego has absolutely no power. The only reason it even has a pull on us is because we allow it. We choose to be at its beck and call, but we've only invented this responsibility or obligation. And as we've studied the course so far, the ego's been shown to us as separate with its own agenda. The reason, we're told, is that the course did it this way because this way it pulls the ego out of its shadow, describing it to us as something tangible, as something that we can see or perceive physically so that we don't just brush it away. Otherwise, we would just brush it away and not take ego seriously. But doing it this way, now we can see it as something we've attached ourselves to. How much we've let it run the entire show. And in order for us to rid ourselves of ego, we have to see it. We have to see the hold it has and the limits that we've placed on ourselves because of it. We can't just brush it off. Otherwise, we just continue to be confused and stay stuck in the separate thinking, believing we are here. But now we can know all the ego is just a belief that we have about ourselves. No matter how much or how long we continue to believe it, though, our real life, the real us, it continues on, unaffected by any of this. And it will continue to be unaffected by any of this. Paragraph 2. As we learn to see and begin to recognize the untruths that have made up the majority of our experience up until now, we'll start to become aware of our part in all of this. The Course tells us that we've never forgotten our part of the sonship, that within us, we know the one main intention that we all share, which is the intention to have the best interest of the whole at the front of every single thought that we have. We're to give ourselves over to be at service, doing our part in this. We're created with an instinctive knowing. We carry that knowing, which is a thankfulness of love, a readiness to not only show appreciation, but to return kindness and return respect to Jesus, our brothers, the sonship, because of their doing the same for us. It's returning to love by returning kindness, returning respect. This is a moral code or a law that's ingrained in all of God's creations, us, the animal, and the plant kingdoms. In fact, animal and plant kingdoms still do this, but we've seemed to have lost our sight, to have lost our way or our knowing. We've made a binding agreement to commit ourselves to our function, our part of the whole of the sonship. In every action and interaction, we must remember our agreement, because up until now we haven't. Somewhere along the way, we've stopped putting the needs of the whole ahead of our own, putting our needs as primary. We've stopped showing gratitude, respect, and kindness to the sonship, and ultimately to ourselves, our brothers, and even to our planet. However, if we choose instead to uphold this moral code or law, a commitment we know internally that we've made with the sonship, it will open up the holy way of seeing things. As we learn our duty, our function, as part of this sonship, we'll come as close to knowledge as any other way of seeing can, making us close enough to our truths that our knowledge will be able to just flow through to us, making it so that we never return to this old way of thinking again. Paragraph 3. With where we are now in our journey, we're far more comfortable with ego's voice and relying more on ego's voice than spirit's. After I read this part, I imagined both voices in my mind. And when I did, I realized that I do associate ego's voice as if it's my voice. And spirit's voice feels almost foreign, like it's outside of me or separate even. However, the Course tells us here that the more we start listening to Spirit's voice and follow its direction, the more we'll begin to trust and rely on it, and maybe start associating it as our voice. When we do this, we will see results. The kind of results that will make us ask ourselves why the heck we haven't been doing it this way the whole time. Experience is the best teacher. When we make a conscious decision about something based on the guidance of Spirit, we'll feel this incredible peace in that deciding, a joy as a result. Experiencing this, we'll quickly start to know that this is clearly the way to go, because there's always this uncertainty when deciding from ego's direction. And decisions made from ego usually result in unsatisfied chaos. It's the positive experience that we get when we're working with Spirit that'll help us realize on our own that listening to Spirit's voice over egos is our best choice, because we experience joy and peace that stays with us, as opposed to the fleeting feelings of happiness that always feel wrapped up in worry from the uncertainty that we feel from following ego's voice. If we take a second, step back, and look at this, we can clearly see the difference between these two approaches. The mindset between these two approaches are totally different. And when we do, we'll start to recognize our voice over ego's voice. And it'll be clear to us that we aren't the same as our ego. We start to separate our voice from ego's. The Course tells us that we believe we've already realized that we are not the ego, but we haven't really done this yet. Because when we're thinking, oh, I just need to humble my ego, or I just need to get control over it, or I'll punish this ego out of me, these thoughts are really still saying that we believe in the ego, because we believe it's still something that we can escape. Paragraph 4. Ego has no concept of spirit. It is aware that the eternal exists because it understands that it isn't, but it has no knowing of limitlessness. Spirit, on the other hand, has no understanding of ego or of limits, knowing only the eternal exist. So what this simply says is, ego doesn't understand the existence of spirit, and spirit knows ego doesn't exist. Our mind is only able to separate from the whole because it thought of being separated. It made up the story that it was, and then it believed the story. And because we've done this, we aren't able to experience our gift of having impulses the way that they were intended, which is with love, as miracle impulses, where we mindfully reach out into creation, using the senses with love, and then experience receiving and giving love with our brothers. Not being able to have these natural impulses isn't because we're separate or ego is a separate thing, it's because we believe that we're separate. We believe ego is a separate thing. Otherwise, we'd use the body as the tool that we intended it to be, truly experiencing creation from the body's senses. But instead, we believe the thought that we had of separation. This has become the story that we tell ourselves. We've made ego the face of our story, the narrator of our experience. But our truth is our real voice. In the lie, we've made ego the voice of separation. But really, the only thing keeping it going is our choice to keep it going. Paragraph 5. So we've not only thought the separation was possible, we've decided to believe separation possible. And we keep deciding to make this our belief. Our wholeness is everything. However, we've tossed it aside. We've chose to not accept this gift. So the text tells us our brother, Jesus, or Spirit, understands our mind. It understands that once we've made a choice, it is so, unless we change our mind. So this is exactly what Spirit sets out to do. It knows it can't change our mind, but it can remind us of our truth. The truth of how miserable we are without wholeness, and how as we uncover our truths, we're feeling less miserable. So now, Spirit, only with reminding us of our own truth, we of our own choosing begin to gradually change our mind about our worthiness. Reminding us of our truth, we experience the joy from that and become that much more aware of how miserable we feel in the lie and the separation. Eventually, we'll look at it and we'll go, oh, okay, I've been so miserable living this lie as ego, but the truths that I've been discovering lately really give me so much joy. And then, just like that, we change our mind. We've been told and have been telling ourselves the opposite our whole lives, that the separation brings us joy, and remembering our truth would be very painful. So now, with this, we are free to choose. The Course has told us to get real with ourselves about what it is that we think we're getting. What benefit have we convinced ourselves that we're getting from ego? Then see it for the lie that it is. And now, find out what's holding us back from wholeness, from our truth. Is it fear, guilt, or just feeling unworthy? With this now all laid out in front of us, remember. Remember that we weren't meant to fear. We weren't meant to have guilt. And remember, we are worthy. In doing this, will we still choose the life of separation, or will we finally change our mind, especially after being exposed to the joy, and finally accept the rewards of God instead? Paragraph 6. As it stands right now, Spirit has far more trust in us than we have in Spirit. However, a time will come where we'll have complete trust in Spirit. And for this to happen, we have to start living life like ego doesn't exist. That means me. It means you. It means each and every single one of us. There's not some mistake. Jesus chooses the channels that move love between the physical and the non-physical. He chooses those connecting Spirit to creation and creation to Spirit. The Holy One seems to be our higher self from what I'm reading so far. Now that may morph and change as we study further, but from what I've gathered so far, this is what it seems like to me they're referring to when they refer to the Holy One. So our true self. And Jesus is telling us here in the text that whether we're aware of it or not, our higher self, the Holy One, already agrees with him and trusts him in his atonement decisions. So Jesus really wants us to get this trusting him thing, because he wants us to trust him in that we are worthy, because he goes on to tell us why we should, and that he has the experience, that he has already done what he is helping us do, something that we haven't yet, so that we know we can look to him for guidance. He says, I've already done this. I've completed my part as a man. So now as our brother, he's saying to us, look to me for help and guidance, because I've done it and succeeded, and it's why I'm in charge of the atonement to help you get there too. He says that all of us are his channels. We are what connects Spirit to creation. We were chosen for this, and it isn't something that we can fail at. Even when our strength is low, the strength of Jesus gives us the strength that we need. This is part of God's design, because remember, when one temporarily has less, another has more, then an exchange is done to create balance. Paragraph 7. Jesus says that he'll help us reconnect with our higher self, the Holy One. And he became the bridge because his experience built it for us all to cross, and allows our higher self to cross the gap. The only outcome Jesus expects is for us to all hold ourselves in a state of gratitude, a state of readiness to show appreciation and return kindness to our brothers. Because being fully aware of our brother is being aware of God. It's in this way Jesus is able to bring us to God. If we feel and show appreciation for our brother, then we are feeling and showing appreciation for God, for what he created. It's through our readiness to show and return appreciation to our brother that we can really start to develop a relationship. One moment of real remembrance, we see everyone as a brother because we know they too are from our Father. Love isn't about taking over or overcoming. Love moves all things into a state of rightness, a state of love moving lovingly. Because we are a movement of God, Jesus is able to bring us back to our creations. We haven't acknowledged their existence or been aware of them because we've disconnected from them and that we've believed ourselves separate from them, but they've still always been there. Paragraph 8. As we get closer to our brother, we get closer to Jesus. The same applies when we've disconnected ourselves from our brothers, we've disconnected ourselves from Jesus. Our way out of this is a unified effort. It's something that we must join together to accomplish. We can't accomplish it by separating ourselves from the sonship because we detach ourselves from Jesus, which is the bridge to our atonement. The only way to get more of God is to be more of God. The more we act as a movement of God toward our brothers, the more God will move to us through our brothers. We first have to learn what it is that we need to learn from our brothers before we can even be ready to hear God. The whole point of all of this is realizing that love naturally navigates toward oneness. That wraps up this episode. The thoughts I share in each podcast are my best interpretation of what resonated as truth for me. I love to share them with you. My intention is to evoke your own thoughts that will make rise within your awareness your own truth. Thank you for being a part of my journey and for allowing me to be a part of yours. With your coffee still warm and your notes fresh, take some time to go inward. Align yourself daily with your truth and take it with you into every experience. And until next time, keep shining.